Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is July 31st, 2014. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. Just look around the world and see, with the Ebola crisis, with the borders, with Russia, with the so-called Arab Spring that completed in its complete turmoil and a rising of a caliphate. It's one thing after another. The world is in turmoil. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the Holy City. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your request, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886 for an emergency. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. ProphecyHour.com is like a hub for all our ministries, our Wichita Mission Church, how to donate, all kinds of things you can find at ProphecyHour.com, along with all our end-time radio archives. If you scroll to the left, to the right, rather, side of the page and scroll down, you'll see a box that says End-Time Radio Archives. You can go there. ABR also has archives. Anyway, if you're also 10%, or no, it's not 10%, I repent. If you're one of the 15% of the people that do not use the internet and you're listening by radio, of course, you can feel free to call me for any question. I am excited about tonight's book and guest tonight. So, as most of you are listening, you know that I believe the Antichrist will not come from Rome. It will be an Islamic Antichrist. We've had many guests on that support this view, such as Wallace Shubat and Joel Richardson, just to name two. Now, as we do have others on, we have had others on that do not believe this. And as always, it's always for you to pray and sort them out, because I believe every guest that we have on brings something to the table. But now, tonight, we have a guest on that I do agree with. I was sent to a book by a publicist that this last Sabbath, and it came with a couple of other books, but I didn't really look at it till yesterday, and I have no idea what was in it until yesterday. I opened the book, and it was a book called Daniel Revisited, and his website is called The Four Signposts. But anyway, I was greatly impressed by this book, even though I haven't had time to read it. But I have scanned the website, and you folks are going to be blessed when you go over there. So let's bring on this author and get him on here and talk to him. All right, welcome now, Mark Davidson. Are you there with me, Mark?
I sure am. Thanks for having me, Pastor Dan.
Well, sorry for getting you on a little late. I think we had some technical problems, but we're on now. But anyway, I was impressed by your website. Like I say, the publisher sent me this book along with another book I requested, and I really didn't glance at it till yesterday. And then when I did, I was pretty shocked that it was something I agree with.
I get that a lot from people, yeah. In fact, it was a shock myself when I stumbled across this whole new interpretation 10 years ago.
Yeah, amen. So take us into that, a little bit about yourself and how you came to, you know, write this book.
Well, I make my living as an engineer. I'm not a theologian, but I am a student of Bible scripture, you know, and prophecy and history and geopolitics, et cetera. And it was I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and I had read Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I guess it took 9/11, to that great event in that September 2001, to knock me in the head to make me realize, you know, what's going on here, Lord? The prophetic picture, the things that are happening aren't what we thought. And am I missing something? I asked him. And so basically he thankfully put me on a journey of discovery. And I discovered a few things that kind of bashed some old, dearly held assumptions that we had. And then I realized that we were not reading Daniel chapter 7 and 8 plainly. We were actually reading it with our assumptions and ignoring certain parts of it.
Well, amen. Let me butt in for a second. Amen.
Sure.
You know, that the world, you know, we tend to be in modern Christianity looking at everything from a Western point of view, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we take things as assumption, you know, it's handed down. But if you do like I did when I read the Bible when I first came out of the world 20-some-odd years ago, that it shows a whole different picture when you just read it plainly, so to speak. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I think that's how it's meant to be read, is plainly. So what happened was, I discovered the work of Joel Richardson. He hadn't read his book. He hadn't written his book yet. He was still on the Internet on answeringislam.org. And he was proposing that the Antichrist was Islamic. And then I wrote to him, and we've become friends now. We talk and email to each other. And I told him, I said, you know, for this proposal of yours to stick, you know, we have to go through the biblical arguments, like in Daniel chapter 2 about the statue of the iron, you know, the iron leg empire, and Daniel chapter 9 where it talks about the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the temple, and after all, wasn't that the Romans? So I dived into a long research project in ancient medieval history, and I realized what Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 9 were trying to tell us is just that we refused to learn the history of the world so that we could understand it. You know, typically when you read the Gospels or you read the Bible, you have to think in terms of, you know, well, what is this place and what were things like to understand better what, you know, what is being said. Well, the same thing with, say, Daniel chapter 2, verse 40, where it says, just as iron crushes and pulverizes gold and silver and the bronze, so also the empire of iron must crush and pulverize all the other empires, the empire of gold, Babylon, the empire of silver, Persia, and Greece, you know, being the bronze. And Rome never did that. And I show in my book how and why Rome never did those things. Rome never conquered Persia. And as it turns out, the old historians, the Roman historians, and the earliest theologians like Hippolytus and Jerome, they assumed that what the historians were saying was true, and that Rome did conquer Persia all the way to the borders of India, which just isn't true.
No.
But Islam did. And Rome had tried to conquer Persia for 7 centuries, and Islam did it in like 5 years. And over the ensuing centuries, they got rid of Persia's religion and Persia's written language and culture and replaced it with Islam and Arabic writing and so forth.
Right.
Islam is very good at crushing.
Right. Islam, you know, some of the... Let's go with this. You know, I believe in all the signs of the times, you know, and for other things like Israel going back and becoming a country, you know, there is just no other scenario that can fit with this, because we would have to have a whole nother empire come in and do all these different things, and there just isn't time for it in the time frame that we have. You agree or disagree?
Yes, agreed. Islam is the only candidate in all the centuries that fits the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, verse 40. And also in Daniel chapter 9, people might say, but it was the Romans who destroyed the temple. I mean, how do you get around that? And I asked that very same question. And as it turns out, both Josephus wrote in his writings about the conquest of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and other historians as well found out that the legions, when they're based in a province, especially in the eastern part of the Roman Empire, they would gather their recruits from the province they were based in. So the 10th Legion, which was on the east side of Jerusalem and did the kind of spearheaded the destruction, they were filled with Syrians. Yes, they were in Roman uniform under a Roman banner, but they were Syrians. And that word in Daniel chapter 9, Am, which means people, can mean political or ethnic. And Paul says in various places in the New Testament, first of all, he says, I am a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. But then in another place, he says, I am a Roman citizen. So we've been looking at it politically, but we're supposed to be looking at it ethnically. They were Syrians, Egyptians, and Arabians that destroyed the temple. And today, they're all Arabs through intermarriage, and today, they're all Muslim.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole, folks, the word, all this is really laid out. I mean, clear back in Moses' time, Moses laid it out exactly what would happen at the end time and what specific countries. Why do you think, I think it's part of a replacement thing, you know, instead of calling, you know, Israel, they want to say some other country's Israel, or they want to say some other country is, you know, a different part of the world, instead of taking it literally.
Correct. By the way, the main message of my book is the four signposts. And again,
yeah, just a second. Yeah, let's go into it, folks. I want to tell the folks where that's at. Well, this is what Great Ray impressed me over having him on. Mark's site is foursignposts.com. Foursignposts.com. And if you're listening to this in radio archives, you'll find a link to it. But you need to go over there because he lists these four signposts. And, you know, I know the book's going to be incredible, Mark. But I read these signposts. I spent the last yesterday and today reading through this. So please go on. Take us through those signposts and, you know, what you mean by it and, you know, where are we at?
Sure. Glad to. Well, by understanding that the Antichrist is now Islamic, and the Bible even argues for it once you understand history, then go back and reread Daniel 7 and 8. And when you reread those chapters plainly, every verse for every verse, Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 are telling us both in various verses, it's an end-time fulfillment. It's not ancient. It's only an end-time fulfillment. And that there's all kinds of reasons, and I get into in my book, why it can't be anything else but. But the four beasts, the lion with wings, the bear higher on one side, the leopard with four heads, and the fourth beast, they are foreshadowed by ancient empires, but they are today the modern inheritors, if you will, the modern versions of those ancient empires. Those are the seven heads. And the whole entire vision of Daniel chapter 7 forms an outline of all the end times, and chapter 8, the ram and the goat, are filling in details. And at the ram and the goat in 8 and at the four beasts in chapter 7, they tell us about the same sets of events. And then I stumbled across the horsemen of Revelation 6, and believe it or not, they are involved with the four beasts. They call out the four beasts. We have four living creatures that call out the, you know, after each of the first four seals is broken, the four horsemen come out. And in Revelation, we are told about the spirits of God, the spirits of heaven, the winds of heaven. They are the eyes on the Lamb that go out into the world. And Zechariah tells us that there's four groups of horses that go out into the world, same colors, red, white, black, dappled instead of green. And at the beginning of Daniel chapter 7, and it says that the four winds of heaven stirred up the ocean, and our English Bible say churned, but it's not churned in the original language. It's brought forth. It's brought forth these four beasts. And so, and what gave backing up one step, what gave me the four horsemen, what caught my eye is that they are only given authority in a quarter of the earth. And so I checked out Islam, and Islam has a quarter of the people, a quarter of the sovereign nations, and a quarter of the land area of the earth. And so these four signposts, prior to the tribulation, prior to any rapture, they are going to be limited to the Islamic realm. Its effects will be felt worldwide, but they will be limited to the Islamic realm. And besides that, the horses have these four colors, white, red, black, green, and the flags of the nations of Islam through that region. You know, all the Arab countries and Turkey and Iran, they're all red, white, black, and green. And green, the final color, representing the fourth signpost where the Antichrist himself emerges, green is the holiest color in Islam. And so that last horse is not a pale horse. It's not a pale green horse. The language of the Greek says green. It says chloros, just like Jesus' grass that he told the people to sit down on before he divided the loaves and the fishes. And that this, the reason we thought it was pale was because, well, death is writing it. But no, the Bible says it's green, and I believe it is deep Islamic green. If you want an idea of what it might look like, go check out the flag of Saudi Arabia. That's the
Absolutely.
Kind of green we're talking about. So these four horses bring out these four beasts to bring out four signposts. And now if you'd like, I can go ahead and
say okay, well, let me say something, and we do want to know what the four signposts are and where we're at with them. But let me ask you a question that bears asking before most people. You said something profound, which, you know, I tell this over and over to people. They have a vision that with this, I don't know, let's call it science fiction type vision for American Christianity. They have this thing about the Antichrist can rule the whole world and everybody's going to be controlled by the mark of the beast. And, you know, that's really not what the word says. How do you deal with that issue?
Well, again, from my perspective of looking at the first through fourth signposts, the empire that the Antichrist initially pulls together will be in the Islamic realm. And I do note that where it's a quarter of the earth prior to the tribulation, toward the end of the tribulation, there's a bunch of judgments put on a third of the earth. And this, I don't have any proof of this, it's only my conjecture, but I believe the Antichrist will expand from a fourth of the earth to a third of the earth, like Europe and much of Africa and parts of South Asia might be endangered be forced to join. But I believe, by and large, a nation will have the choice of saying rejecting or accepting the mark of the beast. I don't think nations will actually have to. Now, people who will say, well, the whole world will be involved because it says he has authority over every people and every nation and every tongue. Yes, so did King Nebuchadnezzar, but King Nebuchadnezzar did not actually rule the whole world.
Right, absolutely. I believe that it will be confined to, you know, generally the Middle East area, the 10 nations or whatever. While the whole world's going to be in trouble, I mean, we've got famines and diseases and earthquakes and huge things that are coming to the whole world. The whole world's going to be in trouble. But this specific issues with the Antichrist, I believe, are going to be over there. Absolutely. Okay, well, we've got about a minute before break. So use a minute up and then we'll go to break.
All right. Well, each of these four signposts, I'll just give a quick overview before diving into it after the break. Each of these four signposts, the lion is Iraq. The bear is Iran. The four-headed leopard is Turkey and Egypt and Syria and another country, which might be a surprise. And then the fourth, of course, is modern Islam, rebirthed from ancient Islam, because the caliphate will be reborn. And that's what the Antichrist will take over initially.
Yeah, we'll bring in some of these questions afterwards, you know, because there is a caliphate arising now, but we don't know that that is a caliphate. Turkey's going to play into this. There's a lot of things. We've had Joel, you mentioned Joel. Joel's been on here, Walid Shubat's been on here, and I've had them both on when they first started talking about this. You know, I've been on radio a number of years, but we've been dealing with it for a while. So it's good to hear somebody else bringing this up. Tell them about your website. What can they find there?
At foursignposts.com, which is all one word, you can find articles on what's going on in the Middle East, how I show how events just continue to prove the signposts are real and that they're converging on the next one, the second signpost. And you can order the book. There's links to other sites. I don't link to too many sites, though, because very few sites basically agree with what I have to say. It's a very new message.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, folks, go over there. It's foursignpost.com, foursignpost.com. And again, if you are listening to this in archives, of course, we're live right now, there will be a link at prophecyhour.com to this and over at the End Times Radio Archives over there on Podomatic. But we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Oh.
away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887 or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95 plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Right now, it's the first of the month, and it's time to catch up all the bills from last month. And as you know, folks, we don't sell anything, and so We rely on your support to help all these people that we've helped for now our 15th year. You know, folks, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people, which means you've helped thousands upon thousands of people. And no, we don't get rich by doing it. The money goes into the ministry, and that's where it goes. We help people that walk in and need things like first aid, and they need Bibles and clothing and all of these different things. We come in, they come in, we help them. That is if we have the funds to do it. You know, we don't get anything from agencies or the government or anything like that. And we help the poorest of the poor, so they can't support us, but that's why we need your support. We also need your, if you're enjoying this program, we need your help. It's the first of the month. It's time to pay radio airtime. So pray about a donation for that, because airtime is not free. Anyway, folks, we are the last hope for so many, and folks, you are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help, but the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com or simply call me at 620-878-4682. And now we're back talking about Daniel Revisited, the four signposts with Mark Davidson. Are you still with me, Mark?
I sure am, Pastor Dan.
All right. Now most people regroup during break and they figure out what they want to talk to you, so I'll let you take us into it.
All right. Well, the first signpost is started by the first horseman on the white horse, and the creature, the beast, is a lion with wings. It's forced to stand, and its mind is changed. And this has already happened, and we didn't even know it. In fact, the first edition of my book was called Hidden in Plain Sight, and what was hidden was the biblical significance of what's going on in the Middle East. So, and I know this may sound crazy, but a lot of people have said that the first horseman, the guy on the white horse, is either Jesus or the Antichrist, but I submit it is Saddam Hussein. He is the signal. He is the harbinger, if you will, from the Lord to say, you got to get it, folks. He was in power from 1979 to 2003, and his career matches the description of the first horseman beautifully, perfectly, even down to the bow that has no arrows. The Bible doesn't say he had arrows or that he didn't have arrows, and the illustrations, paintings of the first horseman always show him with an arrow in his bow, but that's not true. He only had the bow, and there's not enough time to go into all the details, but I explain in great detail why he was a perfect fulfillment of the first horseman. And the beast itself, the lion with wings, the wings were plucked, i.e. when we went in as the international coalition led by the United States to oust Saddam Hussein, we scrapped their army, we scrapped their air force, and then we forced the beast that had consumed Kuwait and that was trying to consume Khuzestan and Iran, this lion-like creature, this lion-like nation, we tried to force it to act and think like a man. So we forced it to stand, and we replaced its mind. And the head of each creature and the head of each animal in every prophecy means political power. It means political authority. And so we changed its mind from a mind of a lion to the mind of a man. In other words, we changed it to a democracy. And so I think this is the Bible's commentary of what happened during the George Bush years, is that it wasn't impossible to change Iraq into a democracy. And, yes, there was some degree of success, but it was very strange to try to turn a lion into a man. But that is the first signpost, and it occurred, and it was fulfilled. And so now, second signpost awaits us, and that's the next one, and that was going to be led by Iran. And the beasts we have here, we have the bear higher on one side, and we have the ram in Daniel chapter 8, standing by Susa, with one long horn, and then one other long horn comes up longer later. And we're told these are the kings of the Medes and the Persians, but remember, from Daniel's perspective, Iran and the Iranians would be Medes and Persians. And never do you see, at least in ancient times, even today, a nation being led by two kings, by two leaders. That never happened in ancient Persia. It was always one king at a time. And this ram runs out, two kings at once. And the two kings are, the first horn is the supreme leader, the office of supreme leader. It could be, it could have been Khomeini. It wasn't. It could be Khamenei, the current supreme leader, but it may not be. It may be whoever comes next. The horn that came up next, I thought, was Ahmadinejad, but it is not. I had to do more research, and that's one of the reasons I made the second edition of my first book, Daniel Revisited Now, and that is the second horn is the leadership of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC. As it turns out, the IRGC started as a bodyguard for the supreme leader, but over the course of many decades, and I explain this fully in the book, it grew in power. It took over the armed forces, then it took over the economy, then it took over the banking system, and now it has approximately half of Iran's economy. It is very powerful. And some analysts argue whether it is the longer horn, whether it is the most powerful. And the reason we're going to see two leaders continue to rule is because the supreme leader needs the IRGC to stay in power. If it wasn't for the IRGC, the supreme leader would be out in a heartbeat. And the IRGC needs the supreme leader because the supreme leader gives them religious purpose. Without the supreme leader, they just become a naked military dictatorship, and everybody would see it. And they have no more, they would have no more sense of belief and zeal. So these two will lead Iran, and Iran is going to invade the Middle East. That's what the Bible says. The bear is to eat much flesh, and the ram runs out to the north, the west, and the south. They will take, try to attempt to take the holy sites. They will take the Mideast oil, and this has major implications for the rest of the world. The Red Horseman, the second rider on the Red Horse, he is given the power to slay, let men slay one another. He's given a large sword. But again, he has only authority over a quarter of the earth. And he has the power to take peace from the earth. But that word peace is not the absence of war. That word peace is like what Jesus told us in the gospel, my peace be with you. It's peace of mind and stability. And the thing that would cause that, the mechanism that would cause that would be, of course, the loss of oil or the price of oil being jacked up. You know, every time you have a slight hiccup in the oil supply, the oil price jumps. But imagine if Iran had control of a quarter of the world's supply and a quarter of the world's production.
Right.
And On top of that, our petrodollar system, which allows our government and our Fed to print money like crazy and there be no hyperinflation, is because all the nations need our dollars in order to buy that oil. That is the petrodollar system. Iran has stated they want to get rid of the petrodollar system. They want to take us down. So if they take over that oil, they will stop the petrodollar system. If they do allow any oil to be sold, it will not be in dollars. And so the nations of the world won't need so many dollars. They're going to come flocking home here. So if the government hopes to keep on spending and the Fed keep on printing, then we will see hyperinflation. Every fiat currency does that. The reason ours has not is because of the petrodollar system.
Right.
So there's a reason to physically prepare. Get your wealth out of dollars. That's what I recommend to everybody. And I've done it myself. Also, let's see here. The third signpost, then, is after Iran has run out, the goat, the prominent horn, is the king of Yavin, not the king of Greece. He's the king of Yavin. And the children of Yavin have settled in western Turkey and settled around the Balkan Peninsula. And he will be the leader of Turkey. And Turkey and Egypt and Syria and another nation, it's Albania, and I could spend a half hour talking about why it's Albania. Albania, by the way, is a Muslim nation. These are four Sunni nations, and, of course, Iran was Shia. And we already see the escalation of a Sunni-Shia conflict. And the second signpost started with Iran, and the third signpost, which will involve these four nations, not forming an alliance, but more like a confederacy. And, again, I give everything I'm saying here, by the way, I give great detail in the book about.
Well, sure. We know that. You're just giving an overview, so go ahead.
Yeah, giving an outline, right, that these four nations will take back the entire Middle East and become very great. They might even be a member of the G7 or G8. They will cover the entire Middle East from Istanbul to Pakistan and from Egypt all the way up to, Azerbaijan. They will cover the whole area, be one great nation. And people may think, is this the caliph? Is this the caliphate? Is this maybe even the Antichrist. And I know Waleed and Joel Richardson have both thought this way. And I think Joel, he finally read my book and is starting to come around. But no, this is going to be an intermediate stage. This will be a false lead. And that, like the Bible says, when the horn dies or is replaced, it four horns pop up and take its place to the four directions of the winds from the city of Susa, which is in southwestern Iran. And what's very interesting is that, as I believe these four nations, these four new nations, because the old boundaries, except for Israel, the old boundaries of the Middle East will be completely wiped out and replaced.
Well, let me say something in a second. Right now, now we're seeing the boundaries of the nations change right now. You know what I'm saying? With the caliphate, which, you know, I don't think is by any means the final product, but I think everything that's been going on, starting with the Arab Spring, has been the realignment of things for this event. What do you think?
Yes. Yes. Well, I do believe that ISIS, or IS as it's called now, is the final act before the beginning of the second signpost. I've seen indications why, and I talk about it on the blog, why this is the last act. We are seeing the beginning of the erasure of boundaries. We are seeing for the first time somebody declaring themselves to be the caliph, the caliph. And that's what we will see when Iran takes over, and that's what we'll see then when the Turkey-Egypt four-nation confederacy takes over, and we'll see it again finally when the man who will be Antichrist takes over. We're going to see it over and over and over. And I believe with this new Islamic State, we're seeing sort of a foreshadow of the beginning of a trend here. And that also what they've succeeded in doing is they've taken the Sunni-Shia conflict from Syria and brought it right to Iran's front door. Yeah. And Iran will invade when Iran is ready. And Iran is sending out just enough troops and just enough material, flying it into Baghdad and so forth, to help the Shia troops hold them back. Right. And when Iran is ready, Iran will do what the Bible says Iran will do. And by the way, I've had a lot of people tell me, oh, but the United States would never allow Iran to do that. But remember, you've got to read Daniel 7 and you got to read Daniel 8. Daniel 8 says, and the ram was allowed to do all it wanted to do, and that no one could rescue from the power of the ram. And
well,
so if
well,
we read our Bible...
Let me intercede with that.
Sure.
Look, I believe prior to the current president that we have now, that we would not allow Iran to do what it wanted to do. But now, this president, and I'm not so sure he's ever going to leave office, this president has allowed them to do whatever they want. And
yes,
that's what's going on with the Middle East. He's just backed out of it.
Yes, he has given carte blanche. He has given them a blank check. Go do what you want to do, he's basically saying to Iran. In fact, it's interesting that, too, is our fingerprints are all over the prophecy. You know, we say, well, the United States isn't in prophecy. No, not by name, but definitely by actions. We were the ones who raised the lion to stand. And we were the ones who even brought the ram out and allowed the first horn to come up when Carter let the Shah go and the Supreme Leader came in. And now, under the Obama administration, we're allowing Iran to complete its plans. So we're very much involved. It's just not by name.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the horn breaks and the four horns pop up and we have these four nations in the four directions. And these four nations, by the way, I believe will follow ethnic and geopolitical lines. And what's interesting to me is how the Iranian peoples, the Turkic peoples, and the Arabic peoples all come together, their regions that they occupy all come together, and their boundaries come together at Susa. I find that absolutely stunning, that these four nations then would form with their intersection, if you will, at Susa.
Well,
yes?
No, I just said, right.
Okay.
Go on. So, I'm listening. I'm trying not to interrupt so you can give your outline.
All right. Well, the third signpost is basically that. The third signpost is you see four nations, the GOTUS suddenly, they form and they rush back out and take out Iran. They take out Iran's government and they form one great nation covering the entire Middle East. That is the third signpost. And the third signpost ends when it fractures into four new nations. And then the fourth signpost begins, the fourth and final signpost prior to the tribulation. And that fourth signpost is where the four nations, the four new nations are. You will find a nation, I believe, and what I think is interesting, too, is the geopolitics of the Middle East. They just, these last few chapters when I was doing the signposts, the book wrote itself. Because of the geopolitics of the region, it's like, you know, how could these play out? Well, there really is only one way because the geopolitics of the Middle East is only one way.
Right.
And so these four nations are the area of Turkey and Syria will be a nation. And in my book, I call it New Turkey. And then Egypt will grab a slice of the Western Arabian Peninsula. I call it New Egypt. And then Iran, the Persians will arise and form their own nation again. And which I call New Iran, and then the rest of the Arabian Peninsula I call New Arabia. These are just names to use to refer to in the text to, you know, instead of saying that nation or this nation. But of those four nations, we are told in Daniel chapter 9 the ethnic background of the Antichrist. He will be Syrian. And we are told in Daniel chapter 8 that the little horn that grows out of one of the four horns. His power will grow to the south and to the east. And of these four nations, there's only one nation that would allow a conqueror to grow to the south and to the east, and that's to come out of the Turkey-Syrian nation. He will conquer the Egyptian nation, and Daniel 8 and Daniel 11 say so, and he will go to the east and take out Arabia. And what's interesting about this, like I said, it just kind of writes itself. These three nations that he takes over are the three horns of the fourth beast that are uprooted. And as soon as he does that, the other seven nations fall one after the other because they recognize him as the Mahdi, the coming great caliph, the 12th imam of Shia Islam. And Iran will fall to him. The new Iran will just say that they recognize him as the caliph. And Sudan and by the way, Ezekiel 38 provides this list of nations. Joe Richardson gives a good argument as to why Ezekiel 38 is not some intermediate war, the Magog war. It is the war at the end when Christ arrives. And there's sort of like an invitation list on this. It talks about Cush is there, and that's Sudan. And it says, and the Persians are allied with you. What I find interesting about this whole description of war, it doesn't talk about the Turks or it doesn't talk about Syrians or Egyptians. It says the troops that are with you, the troops that are yours, and that'll be those three nations, Arabia, Egypt, Turkey. But it says, and the Persians are allied with you, and Cush is there, Sudan. And it says, and Put is there, and that could be Algeria and Libya. And then it says, and the House of Tagamah, and that is, of course, the Turkic peoples, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, maybe even Afghanistan and Pakistan. Don't know.
That end time alliance, that's why it specifically names nations, you know, basically mm-hmm. what you're seeing is just the rise up of an Islamic empire coming against Israel, you know.
But those are your 10 nations.
I don't quite know how Russia will end up playing in it because that's predominantly, but one word towards what Joel Richardson said. But let's go with this. Ezekiel 38 talks about the great feast of the birds, you know what I mean, coming to eat the flesh. And you find that same scenario in Revelation 19. It's one and the same, and that's at the end time.
Correct, yes. A lot of people ask me, well, what do we do with this information? And I see we're getting kind of maybe close to the time here.
You got about 3 minutes.
All right. So what I'd like to say is that when you see these events occur one after the other, the invasion by Iran and then the Turkey and Egypt coming back and then forming one great nation, it breaks into four pieces and you see a great leader arise out of one of them, especially when you see the invasion by Iran, don't panic, don't worry, don't lose hope, because these are the kind of events that God was warning of us about in his word. And he gave these as warnings to help us out because they will cause a loss of hope. We're going to see a terrible resetting of the economic paradigm across the world. These events are going to set up the United States and the world to say, sure, I'll join your Marx system if it comes along, but by knowing what this is, and that this is the next sign in the coming of Christ, in God's sovereign plan, you don't have to panic. You don't have to worry. You can know and be assured he is near. And just watching one after the other, you will see the tribulation arrive and then finally Christ. So this isn't just a random chaotic event. This is something called out in God's word.
Well, amen. And much, but brother, listen, you know, much of the world, because, you know, the world has been, Christianity, let's go with that, has been under deception for a long time about what's going on in the world. And most of that comes from actually replacement theology. That's why they don't get it right. But the point is so many, while so many hear your message and Joel's message and Wallace Shoebat's message, and there's some others that believe the same thing, not all of you line up exactly with the countries or whatever, but you all point to the same thing, an Islamic Antichrist. And the point I'm giving is this, is that much of the world will be caught unaware because they've also been, they've been deceived in so many different ways. Part of which is just believing that they're not even going to be here when it happens, that we won't go into the rapture. Point being is, these things are birth pains, and they have to come. Birth pains have to come before Messiah comes. After the last great big birth pain, something wonderful happens, and that's Yeshua's return.
Yes. I'm working on, by the way, I'm working on my next book. It's about the Olivet Discourse. Jesus is actually talking about these in his discourse. We just never saw it.
Well, amen. When you get that done, let me know, and you can come back on, and maybe we'll do this again as events line up. We'll talk again, I'm sure, if you want to.
I'd really love to, Pastor Dan.
All right. Well, now give your website again real quick, and I'm going to say goodbye to you so I can say my 3 cents with the people.
All right. First of all, there's no the in the URL. It's just foursignpost.com. And you can go there. You can also buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any Christian on, you know, the website.
Yeah,
foursignpost.com. And also on there you can, there and in the book you can write me. You can email me directly. I will answer.
All right. Well, we always appreciate that. Thanks for being on such short notice. And, look, I haven't had a chance to really read the book because, like I said, I just noticed it yesterday. I'll read the book and I'll get back with you. In the meantime, be blessed, brother, and thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, folks, my point here is this. The Antichrist is going to be Islamic. Right now, we are seeing the armies of the Antichrist rise up. The caliphate, I don't know that this will be the caliphate, but the point is, it's a shadow of the caliphate. These worlds are lining up. These things are happening. While I don't believe, some believe America to be Mystery Babylon. Well, if so, it's destroyed. But whatever you believe, you have to know that the end times is upon you. Most will be caught unaware. Don't you be caught unaware. How do you be prepared? You are prepared just as the virgins it were. They had their lamps turned up, the ones that, so therefore have your lamps turned up. Have that personal relationship. Be in communication with the Father and Son. And the only way you can get communication to the Father is through his Son and not through Buddha or any other God. And remember, folks, you know, ours isn't a God. Our Father isn't a Father of inclusion. He's a God of exclusion because there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And his name is Yeshua HaMashiach. You cannot just believe that, and you have to believe the whole word. You know, times are tough, and they're going to get tougher. Gird your loins. Be prepared for this. But just know that it's going to get worse, and then there's going to be calm. It's going to get worse. There's going to be calm. But then at the end, something very wonderful happens, and Yeshua returns. So pray about it. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. Like I say, we don't sell anything, and I know everybody wants something for your money, but, you know, isn't that the point? You store up treasure in heaven. You get rewarded in heaven for doing good and doing the right thing. And it is the right thing to help your neighbors. And if you don't want to help me, help the poor that you see, you know, the people among you. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. So we must remember, folks, that there really is only one God. He is your father. That's your father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Your son, his son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repentant sins. His life for our repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Always, again, be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.